Good evening, everybody. We're glad you're here for the December 5th meeting of your Ferndale City Council. Let's rise together, and Councilmember Watson, would you lead us today in the salute of our flag?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and be seated. Our City Clerk Susan Duncan will now conduct the roll call.
Councilmember Czar.
Here.
Councilmember Hunter.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Watson.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
Everybody is here, and we're glad you're here. The next item on the agenda is the public comment. This is time when the public can come to the front and speak to your city council on anything that's on your mind that's not on the agenda later. If it's on the agenda later, we'd like to hear from you then. Up to 3 minutes, and we just need a name and where you live and who would like to be first tonight. Please.
Hi, everyone. My name is Carrie Moyes, and I live at 1471 Myers Court. And I am here again on behalf of the Liberty Park Homeowners Association. We're about 58 homes there in Ferndale, and we are right up the hill from the Orca Inn. We came back when Orca Inn was having their conditional use permit approved and expressed our concern then about activities that we felt that would be going on at the hotel. And unfortunately, those activities are happening. My home is directly behind the Orca Inn. Now that there aren't any leaves on the trees, you can see my home right behind. And I see the police cars there on a weekly basis, sometimes multiple times on a weekly basis. We're here again to ask the City Council to please review the Orca Inn's conditional approval permit, especially in light of the shooting that occurred on Saturday, November the 19th. The neighbors, of course, are very concerned, that the activities now have gone beyond just drug use and that type of thing to an actual shooting. We are very appreciative, though, of the Ferndale Police Department, because it sounds like they have been able to round up all those folks that were involved. We really strongly feel that the criminal activity is the type of public nuisance that the permit prohibits. And it's also not good for the Ferndale citizens. The owners, their establishment by the same name on Home Road in Bellingham, doesn't have a much better track record for the type of activity that's occurring there. So again, we just respectfully request that the City of Ferndale review the temporary use permit. The scheduled 2-year review is not soon enough in our opinion. And we thank you very much for
thank
your
you
time
very,
and consideration.
Thank you very much, Carrie. Any comment from staff? I know we're working on it, but appreciate it very
thank
much.
Thank you. I will report back.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm also the Secretary of the Homeowners Association. I should mention that. Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. Anyone else from the audience? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment and go on now to consent agenda. Council, your pleasure.
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Watson, seconded by Councilmember Taylor, I believe.
I apologize. Keith had his hand up.
No, that's okay.
And thirded by Councilmember Olson to adopt the consent agenda. All in favor, say aye.
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can go on with the consent agenda, but then I wanted to move item I up after the consent agenda before we get into all these long public hearings.
Appointment of Planning Commission.
Correct.
Let me look at that. I'm looking for some folks that were interested in an item that weren't going to come this early.
We can move this around whenever we need to. This really needs to be addressed, and I don't consider that a good enough reason not to do it.
Do you know how much longer they might? I think we can do those other people.
We have a motion and a second.
Yeah. Just do the consent agenda.
Yeah.
Motion.
All right.
Thank you.
All in favor of adopting the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. The consent agenda has been adopted.
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah, the council can do what you wish, but there are folks that wish to be here for that were planning to come later because they knew this was at the last part of the meeting. But it's up to council.
Well, I really don't see where that's... You should be prepared to be here if you want to talk about something. Just because it's in order, we move things around all the time. So I don't see that as... It's up to you guys. What do you want to do?
Because we did have people who were here, and I guess we didn't want them to have to wait an hour or so. I don't know how long the public meetings are going to take. Do you know when the people are coming? Or
I don't.
I would like to see us continue with the agenda. Maybe we can get to it quickly. I don't know. I'd hate to see them not here if they wanted to speak.
Kind of back and forth. I mean, I love people.
Council, make a motion to change the agenda. If it passes, we'll change. Otherwise, I'm hoping we'll just keep it the way it is.
All right. So I make a motion. We move it to B2.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjust the consent the schedule tonight to move I up to B2, right? I guess we come up right next to. The mayor would encourage not because I know people are coming later, but council, what is your pleasure? Any discussion on the item? It's been moved and seconded to rearrange the agenda as stated by Councilmember Olson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Thank you. We will now move letter I up to right now. Is that somewhere to you folks?
Sure.
Okay, good deal. I'll introduce the item of the Planning Commission. Wrote this down because I go a little faster. Let me get my head wrapped around it because I wasn't planning to come this early here. Our next agenda item is the appointments to the Planning Commission. We have 4-year terms coming up this year, and we had 8 very qualified applicants, some returning, some new. I have met with and interviewed all 8 candidates. The commissioners appointed tonight will serve a 4-year term. After that, they can reapply if they are still interested. It is my responsibility to appoint people who are willing to work together to do the complicated work of reviewing land use changes in Ferndale. It is the council's responsibility to confirm those selections, and that's why we are here today. Here are my choices. There are 4 choices to fill these 4 openings. I'd like to see council approve the appointment of John Moore, who is the longest-serving planning commissioner in recent history with over 28 years of experience. She will bring helpful institutional knowledge. I'm appointing Stacy Miller, who brings a needed perspective to the commission. And while Stacy and I don't always agree or see eye to eye, she's always willing to work together to bring about a good future for Ferndale. I am appointing Sean Cool, a geologist, who filled in when Rebecca got elected to council and brings a scientific perspective to the Planning Commission. And finally, I'm appointing Greg Krim, a local real estate broker with a strong record of leadership and community service who brings some real-world home-building experience to the commission. Since Greg is probably the only candidate that you don't know, I want the opportunity to introduce him to you so you see who this new commissioner would be. I'm looking out to see if it's Mr. Cornwall in yet. Okay, that's the person I was waiting for. Mr. Tim Cornwall was the commissioner just a few years ago. Tim is currently an Eagle board member, and Tim's the person that introduced me to Greg Krim. Some of you might remember Tim from the Planning Commission, was an outstanding commissioner. I said, Tim, who do you recommend for Planning Commission? Tim Cornwall, you walked in just the second I was looking for you.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that great? Tim, we just introduced the subject of the Planning Commission, and I was looking to you to introduce Greg Krim. You just walked in off the street in a very timely way. Do you think you could do that?
I could do that.
As he's walking up, Tim was a planning commissioner here. He is a current Eagle board member, and by all accounts was a terrific commissioner. What can you tell us about Greg? Greg came into my orbit because of you.
I met Greg Krim 11 years ago. When I was on staff at Cornwall Church, we did a nationwide search for a new senior leader. Our senior pastor was there, but the church was growing tremendously, and we needed a high-caliber leader to help us. And so that's how we met Greg, is after our nationwide search, we selected Greg Krim. He moved here from Indiana with his family and his wife and 4 boys. And Greg did an incredible job of helping us grow. Cornwall Church has over 3,000 members and a multi-million dollar budget and over 50 staff. And Greg was a key executive leader in that organization and running and growing that that community organization. Greg came, got very involved in the city of Ferndale, landed here. Their four boys went up through our public school system, were very involved in sports and different activities. Greg was a coach of different teams. And then he was very involved with the Ebert family when Chelsea passed away and performed that service, that funeral service. So I've known Greg for a long time. I got involved in real estate myself in 2010, and Greg watched my evolution in real estate and learning about that industry, and he decided that he was also interested in it as well. And he looked at, he purchased some properties back in Indiana with a partner, and then he actually took on a development here in Bellingham over the last couple of years and developed some land. And recently, last August, a year ago, not this last August, but over a year ago, he studied and got his real estate license. And so he works alongside me right now at Bellwether Real Estate as a licensed real estate agent in the state of Washington. He also does real estate investing. And so John asked, you know, do you know anybody? And I thought, wow, I know a solid Ferndale guy that loves this city, knows how to communicate effectively and get along with all different types of people, and knows a little bit about real estate now, too. So I think he'd be a great addition. And so that's what I can tell you about Greg Krim.
Jim, because you've been on the commission, what kind of a voice or perspective would you bring that might enhance the commission or benefit the commission?
I think part of it is just being very involved in his community. He built the houses in right now, so he's gone through the building permit process, working with subcontractors and that kind of thing, so he's done it firsthand. He's been in the city of Bellingham and developed land in the city of Bellingham. So he understands what is it like in another municipality to develop property. He's got a subdivision out in Linden right now that he is representing the developer, and developing 35 lots in Linden. So he's familiar with that municipality. So I think he brings some varied experience in terms of developing land and codes and zoning and how those affect the decisions that get made in this group. His family's here. He cares about the community. I think he's going to do what's best for Ferndale, just because it's his community as well. And I think just his experience in the church world, you know, you deal with so many different people, and the ability to handle sensitive topics, I guess, in an effective way, I think he's really good at that. He's a great listener and empathetic.
Anything else you want to add?
That's it.
Council, any questions of this guest? Thank you, Mr. Cornwall.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite Greg up. I appreciate Greg standing as a candidate, and I want you to see who this fellow is. And Greg Krim, welcome. Tell us about yourself.
Thanks. Well, Tim was very kind in his words. I'm married, have a lovely wife, and four boys. All went through the public school system, like Tim said. You know, when we moved to Whatcom County, we really had no barriers where we could choose to live anywhere in the entire county. And we chose Ferndale. And we chose Ferndale because we like the community, the size of the community, the school systems, things we'd heard about Ferndale. And so we had our first house that we kind of co-generaled. And then just 2 years ago, like Tim said, we built another house. And we, again, at this point, our kids are all graduated. And again, choosing we could go anywhere we wanted to. And we chose to stay in Ferndale. Just because we love it here. We like the community. We like the friendships. We like the relationships that we've built. So that's it. Like I said, Tim said a lot about the development. You approached me on the Planning Commission. And I remember when Tim was serving on the Planning Commission. So I remember a lot of what he talked about and his enjoyment and his influence on that. So I've been attending the last few Planning Commissions. Very excited about some of the stuff that we've been talking about from the standpoint of the accessory dwelling units. I'm very concerned about affordable housing, as you know. I mean, inventory is going down and prices are going up. And so I'm dealing with a lot of young people that are looking to buy houses that simply can't afford it. And so the idea of an accessory dwelling unit in the back of somebody's yard that they could rent, potentially get on their feet, and then move out of there. I know multifamily's coming up. That's another thing that's big in Bellingham. That's on their plan. And I know, again, I've talked to Yuri and Haley multiple times through a lot of my own development, got to know them and a lot of the city folks. So very interested in participating in that, knowing that we're talking about annexation, and that's on the agenda. So a lot of the land use experience that I've had, when I'm here, when I came to the first planning commission, doesn't sound like a foreign language to me. I think one of the benefits is when we're talking about the accessory dwelling units, Mary Kay Robinson, who is the president of the Whatcom County Association of Realtors, of which I'm a member of, was here and was able to speak, and I actually spoke too as well on that. You know, the county and the water situation, again, I'm very involved in the knowledge of that, and because of a part of that association, get briefings almost weekly. And what does that mean for us as Ferndale? As they're closing down, you know, I think they're that meeting tonight to talk about possibly a six-month moratorium. What does that mean for us, future growth, things like that? So I'm excited about the opportunity to serve and get just honored to be asked, to be honest with you, since I've been in the community for so long.
And this is the second time he's asked. He was on the list a few months ago for a position, but kind of ended up in the queue there. I didn't know if you mentioned your familiarity with the Bellingham infill kit.
Yeah, infill toolkit. It's because infill housing is hugely important because, again, the land use and situation. So I'm very familiar. Tom Cook is the one who developed that entire the literature around that whole thing. I mean, not Tom, it's Chris Cook did that, and I know Chris well, and I've looked at property and helped people do infill stuff. There's a project going on at Queen in Texas right now that I was able to help an owner acquire land and walk him a little bit through, and then Ali Tashi, who's a land use specialist in Bellingham, who's I think a very good land use specialist, got them in there. They're developing cottage housing on a lot that really it could have maybe only had one house or two houses. There's going to be six. Very affordable, under $300,000 houses, for first-time home buyers or people wishing to downsize. So I think that's very positive. And so as we think about potential infill here as well, I think that's, knowledge that I can bring to the table from the real estate world.
I want to just talk a second about your role as a pastor. I think people, when they hear the word pastor, they think different things. Undoubtedly, our roles as pastors were different.
Right.
You're more of the business person of the church, more than the guy up front doing this stuff. And you shared something with me that I didn't know, that you were quite involved with the building program and the development of that property. How's that experience maybe help you as a potential commissioner?
Yeah, I think when you hear the word pastor, you can get stereotypical on what the guy that's up there preaching. And for many years early on, I did do that. But I guess the term, if you've ever heard the word executive pastor as a role on a leadership, so I was the executive. Led all of our team meetings, our staff meetings, everything. So I led so out of the 40 to 50 employees, depending on what time of year it was, I reported up to where I was. And so part of mine is that we had some building stuff that went on. Two things, again, I think that I would be very positive to bring to the situation is we built two parking lots. One parking lot that's out front on the north side. It was one of those things where stormwater. Stormwater is a big concern these days, and so what were we going to do with the stormwater? Where we built that and went through working with the county engineers, Tony Freeland, Cal Curcio Brothers, I know Dan personally. So we worked with them, and it's pervious. So the very north is pervious, so learning about how many feet you have to go down. It's a little bit more expensive to build that. You've got to go down multiple layers to have the water filter down through that. The other parking lot that we did, Dan, Cal Curcio Brothers were involved in that. If you ever drive past, that's on the southeast side. Again, I worked with Randall Davey and the Army Corps on that, the county. We had to mitigate wetlands. We've got rain guards. If you go there, you'll see like what appears to be weeds, but they're not. They're actually plants that are designed to be in rain gardens, and the water drifts down into those rain gardens so that we can responsibly treat stormwater on our property at Cornwall, and then be able to, before we put it into the system. So you've got that, plus multi-million dollar interior jobs dealing with, again, Dan Curcio, fire marshal, stuff like that. So, again, it's all land use, I think. Again, when you think pastor, you think we read the Bible and pray. And that's about it. We do that, but there were a lot of other things. I
just have one more question. I want the council, if they have questions, too. It's an ethical question. There could occur a situation in the city where a land use decision or a zoning decision could benefit you personally,
uh-huh.
maybe a client, something. Do you feel like you could recuse yourself, remove yourself from those types of proceedings should there be a benefit to you?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was in a conversation this week, and I was with Yori, and we were looking at some zoning different things, and I said, and I asked him the question. I said, Yori, I said, this, I'm the one, I think, you know, or you could speak to this, I think I'm the one who brought it up. I said, hey, there could be an ethical deal here, and so I got to make sure that I'm objective. He said, well, he said, it's you can voluntarily recuse yourself or not, and I would definitely, if there was one situation where, let's say that I knew that I was into a development or helping a developer or something like that, if that came in there, I would definitely recuse myself. I just don't, I think that conflict of interest isn't a healthy thing because I think understanding that I don't represent myself or a developer. If I'm on the planning commission appointed by you, confirmed by you all, my job is to the people of Ferndale, first and foremost.
Thank you.
Before any of us. So, yeah, I would have absolutely zero problem. And I'll be honest with you, there was times at the church where I volunteered. There were some questions came up that could have been, and I said, hey, guys, I'm going to call a timeout. I'm going to pull myself out of that discussion. Still listen in, so I'm informed, but I pulled myself out of that discussion.
Council, questions of this candidate? Have you all seen his resume and read his application? Very good. Thank you, Greg. I'll just share one last thing about Greg. I struggled very hard with this decision on the Planning Commission. One thing that was helpful to me was my interview with Joanne Moore. And I asked all the candidates that were incumbents, I said, if there was an opening on the commission, say somebody left or moved, and I had to fill a position, what type of person do you feel is missing from the Planning Commission? What vocation or what perspective? And it was Joanne Moore, after Mary Kay Robinson had spoken to the commission, that said to me, Mr. Mayor, we could really use a realtor-type person on the Planning Commission. You have that type of person here today, and I would encourage you to appoint all four of these great people. So, City Council, what is your pleasure?
So move on the appointment of the Planning Commission.
Pardon?
So move on the appointments of the Planning Commissioner.
A motion has been made to appoint the four commissioners?
Yes.
Is there a second? The motion dies for lack of a second. Council, what is your pleasure? Councilman Burrish.
I have a question. There were four commissioners coming off their term,
mm-hmm.
and you interviewed all four,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't reappoint the fourth one. There was one that you did not reappoint, and I was curious, would you give us the reason why that commissioner was not reappointed when clearly all four of them wanted their term back?
I thought the candidate that I brought forth tonight would be a better fit and a better candidate for the Planning Commission. That's all. And the person that's being replaced, she had 12 years, three terms, and served under three mayors, and she should be thanked for that. And I also have encouraged her to apply again in 2 years. Any other questions? Council member Watson.
I move to confirm the appointments of Joanne Moore, Sean Cool, and Stacy Miller.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to confirm the appointments of Moore, Cool, and Miller. Is there discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Three commissioners have been appointed, Moore, Cool, and one more time, Miller. Council, I'm going to withdraw the current nomination of Mr. Krim, and we can go on to the next item of business.
Actually, I'd like to hear from the candidate that got not selected again. There was some question in committee of some things that you said, and you tried to shut it down with going to executive session, which it was clearly not. But I would like to hear if Mrs. Goldsmith would want to share the letter that supposedly did not exist.
Mrs. Goldsmith, come forward.
Good evening, Council. I'm Yvonne Goldsmith, and I live at 5840 Church Road. And I did apply, and in the course of the conversation, the interview with John, when we got, I was asked if there was ever a vote that I took that I regretted. And yes, I did have a vote that I took. After I left, I went along with it because the group wanted it. And I want you to think about this. If it's not good enough for everybody, every citizen in Ferndale, then don't make it good enough for just one category, okay? And that is the decision on how we zoned the government area and the little building next door to City Hall. A business was looking at going in there, and they decided it's really not that, it's not zoned for a business. It's a government zoning, our official government city. And don't, if you're going to bring a business in there, make sure it's some form of either walks alongside with government or assist it, but don't make it a private business. Don't try to sneak it in underneath because you think nobody will notice. Okay? Make it equal for all of us. I got the letter from John, and I there's a copy for everybody there. And after I read the letter, I thought, I wondered if he was really talking about me. Number one, I've only served 9 years on the Planning Commission. I have been highly involved in my community from the day that I stepped foot in here in 1988. I love Ferndale. One of the, well, the ending question, and it wasn't even asked by John, and actually should have been, but he left it for Riley to ask. And the question was, very graciously stated by Riley, Yvonne, is there any way that this rift, not butting heads, rift between you and John can be healed? And I looked at Riley and I said, nope. And it looked like Riley was getting up to leave, and I kind of tapped him and I said, no, you sit right there, you're going to listen to the answer.
Not the first time we've had that experience.
And I turned and I looked at John and I told John why I have. It's not a, to me it's not personal, to John it's personal. It's not personal in like you, any of you. It's my belief in the Lord and your walk and your talk. And I told John that I believed that he at one time held one of the greatest titles a man can hold, besides father, husband, uncle, brother, grandfather. And that title is pastor. And I honestly believe that John has walked away from pastor to serving government in its evil. And my reasons for being him, not him per se evil, but for the evil part of government is, he's always looking for how can I get more money, mileage. Do you guys give him mileage to go from his house to the office? Do you guys get mileage? If it's good for one, it should be good for all of you. Number two, I had a problem with him trying to get airline miles from a widow. The Bible states the church will take care of the widows. You don't go and take from the widows. And the other one is, I think John looks at the city and its coffers, the taxpayers, as his source of income, an additional source of income, where he tries to credit card bills, etc. Phone bill, for example. His phone bill is $36 and something a month. He gets a stipend of $75. Therefore, he's getting $34 extra dollars a month. That's not fair to the taxpayers. And my thing is, I look out for the taxpayers. After sitting in your seats and sitting as a council mayor and sitting in many other elected positions, my bottom line is money. And how can we save the taxpayers' money? So when I read this, that I don't get along with people, and that I have a vicious attitude, basically, and difficulty managing unexpected expectations and disagreements, I tell you guys, I don't know who he's talking about. I work very hard. We have a great planning commission, and we all listen to each other, and then we vote. I don't think I've ever stepped on anyone's toes or been ungracious. And so I'm here tonight not to defend my seat, because John's got it in the bag. I'm here tonight to defend a reputation that I've built here since August of 1988. I serve this community proudly. I serve the county proudly. And I'm proud of my walk with the Lord. And another thing, when I'm out traveling around the country, if I know we're going to start looking at something and I'm in a certain city, I'll stop and get that information. And then I pass it on. We are just down in a little area called Green Valley, Arizona. Unbelievable. 78 degrees. This is cold. Okay. But at night, I didn't realize, at night, I never saw streetlights anywhere. Well, Green Valley sits in an area where they have all these planetariums. It's incredible. Just incredible. But they do not, the Planning Commission does not allow streetlights. So when you get there, you park your car, you get your golf cart. Then you go all over and do all these activities and everything. But when you come home and it's dark, you better have one of those high-powered LED flashlights. Because when you get to the end of the block, or you think you are, you got to turn on your little flashlight, shine it on the street sign to know which corner you're turning at so you make it home. So I learn all these things when I'm out and about, and I share it. So tonight I just want to leave you guys knowing that I am passionate about the city of Carndale, and I have served it very well since 1988. And you know what? And I'll continue to serve. You'll see me up here when I've got questions on expenditures or where's the money going. And I think you're kind of a good candidate. I'm not sure we need a broker and a real estate person up here. We need common folk. And I have a problem with too many jobs. But that's just Yvonne Goldsmith. And as Gene would say, Yvonne, that's according to your book, not his book. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mrs. Goldsmith. Councilmember Goodrich.
Do you have any problem with names?
I am. It's part of being a parent of seven kids.
Our little gags for it. I just want to say that I served with Yvonne on the Planning Commission, and I know her to be a person of integrity and things. And this whole issue, to me, as the mayor, you have the right to nominate and bring forth whoever you want. It's your prerogative or your role, just like we're watching now in the presidential thing, the people coming and going in the Trump Tower. He has the ability to bring in his own cabinet. I'm not questioning that at all, your decision. I am very displeased with the way that of all the years of service that Mrs. Goldsmith has given to the city, the way that she was kind of treated here at the end, and some of the things that were written about her in this letter, to me, were just untrue, and they were just more of a personal thing between you and her, and I am very displeased in the way you as mayor and as a pastor have handled this. To me, we should have been up here giving her a certificate and thanking her and giving her an award for her years of service to the city, as well as one of our great coins in the city that everybody gets for their service here, and not a letter like this via, way. So I think your candidate you brought forward is a viable candidate, and I don't see an issue with that, but I just am very displeased with the way that you handled Yvonne's situation.
Council. Ready to move on the agenda? Item C, ordinance acquisition of Washington Street House.
Yeah,
I believe that's Mr. Young.
Yes, there's an ordinance, and our city attorney is here tonight hopefully to answer any questions you might have. We were not able to have this prepared and get it to you for committees. My hope is that you will still consider it tonight. As you're aware, we've informally discussed the purchase with the seller and explored the concept of using it for transitional housing, and that conversation is ongoing. We do need, at some point, and that's probably hopefully approaching quickly, for us to actually enter into a formal purchase and sale agreement and start all the escrow work and then eventually lead to the closing. But part of that process, insofar as this particular property, is the need or the desire for us to buy this property, predominantly because we hope to build eventually a roundabout at this location. So because of the necessity or the desire for a future transportation project, this ordinance would allow us to close on the house, and it would also have the effect of having the sellers not have to pay the real estate excise taxes. Or what we have been offering or what we will be offering the sellers is actually less than what they had the property for sale. We did have a market analysis done, and so what we're offering is that market valuation. So this ordinance would be the next piece of the puzzle. Since the appraisal's been done, we've done some hazardous material. We've been talking about the future use of it, and this would allow us to move forward. As you might imagine, the sellers are rather anxious, as I think all sellers are, but this process has, I think, taken a little bit longer. We appreciate that perhaps because we are in government, but when you're out in the world and a house is empty and you like to close on it and move on, the pace of government sometimes can be maddening. But I think they understand what the need of the city. They're actually fairly excited when I talk to them about the idea of keeping this in transitional housing now and possibly into the future. And someday I think we'll be able to build a roundabout there that all the citizens of the city will appreciate. So that's the
council. Question of the staff. Councilmember Olson.
I'm confused. On the 21st, item L, we voted 7-0 to buy it.
Right.
Well, why are we doing this again?
Well, there is a process. You approve the purchase.
Yes.
And I think in that mind, my intention was to go forward with the purchase. But there are paperwork is paperwork. I'll probably be bringing back the formal purchase and sale agreement, just so you'll have the ability to at least see that document. So really, I think as not only wanting to comply with state law, but to kind of get the paperwork caught up with what your intentions are, that's really the purpose for this.
I don't recall going through that with the house that we bought on the corner. So more or less we're having three items. Just to buy this one house, we're going to see something else yet again.
Well, there's the purchase and sale agreement that, of course, any real estate transaction would need to have.
I'm aware of that.
Just so the closing company knows how to split closing costs and what have you.
Right, but my point being, I can understand the sellers. I'm sitting here, I'm part of it, I'm frustrated.
Right.
I don't see why it takes three different appointment items on these agenda things to deal with this. We told you the 21st, buy it. So buy it.
I know. It's like you got yes, be happy.
Yeah, 7-0. There wasn't even any holdouts up here.
I know.
That's rare. Usually I'm the one.
Exactly.
So, Greg, what do you need from council to make you move this thing forward? They sound like they're tired of that.
The city attorney can address the specific need here.
Dan and Traxler, welcome to city council. It's been a while.
Dan and Traxler, city attorney. So, basically, we just needed to do the process the right way. And in hindsight, we should have come forward with this ordinance first. So we're coming forward now because it's required by statute. And eventually, you would want, if we couldn't negotiate this purchase, you would take this via eminent domain because you would need it to build your traffic improvements. And so you've authorized the purchase price, but all kinds of things can come up during the purchase and sale process. Negotiations can break down. And we need to notify the seller immediately that if things do break down, we will exercise our powers of eminent domain. And it has the beneficial side effect that she doesn't have to pay real estate excise tax via statute. And so all of that is laid out in statute, and we have to follow this process. And I know the language in the ordinance kind of sounds harsh, but that's just the process we have to follow. So
The other part of that question was, what was the original purchase price? The original selling price.
The original sale price was, I believe, $217,500.
And we got appraised at?
$215,000.
So a difference of more or less $2,000.
Right.
They're going to also save how much in excise tax?
I think it's about $3,000 or $4,000, probably about in the
three. So we're actually giving them more than what they're asking for.
Yeah. They actually did have an above ask offer from a private individual, which I believe was for 2018-5. So I think if you kind of roll it all together,
we're about close.
They're very, very close.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Council questions. Councilmember Watson, then Councilmember Birch.
I would like to move to approve the Washington Street House Acquisition Ordinance. Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Watson, seconded by Councilmember Taylor to purchase the house finally. Any discussions?
Maybe.
Councilmember Birch, sorry about that.
Well, I know I supported it when we voted 7-0, but I can't support the purchase of this house because of the inspection report. I think we're short on the money anyway. I'm not sure where we're getting the money to purchase this when we have other needs that the city can't do at this time. And I think it's a money pit until, like you said, we hope to eventually put a roundabout there. So if we're looking at least 10 years down the road, how much more money are we going to spend on this piece of property?
Great. So you have a couple of questions there.
I can't support it.
Yeah. We have had the appraisal, the inspection done. I believe that the one large item would be the roof, and everything else, from what I understand, is probably typical of what you would find in a house of this age. I actually met the representatives from Interfaith over there just the other day because they wanted to get inside, and I had a time to spend with their facilities manager. And he was quite pleased with the home. They're very excited. And, in fact, they were really kind of making up a checklist of the things that they would fix now or perhaps the things that they would just kind of defer some maintenance on or do minor maintenance. The concept would be to, and we talked about this at a prior meeting, and I think it was a good conversation. The cities, I don't think, wants to be in the landlord business. Someone brought up the idea, but someone's going to call Bo at 2 a.m. when the hot water tank goes out. Well, that isn't something that we probably should do. So that's, I guess, the elegance of the offer from this group would be that they would become the landlord. They would be responsible for all of the maintenance. And even though the property would be coming off the tax rolls, there still is real estate I believe it's a leasehold excise tax that they would be responsible for. So the city would actually make a small amount of money on this. As far as the source of money, it would come out of two of our funds that are dedicated to transportation improvements only. So it's out of those two dedicated funds that both of them have well over $500,000 each. So it'd be about half of 215, $107,500 out of each one. I think it leaves a substantial amount still in those funds, and it does put us in line to eventually build the roundabout. I think a lot of people could assume that if we did not think a roundabout was appropriate in that location, we probably should not have purchased that house on the corner and demolished it. It was in a terrible, terrible shape. Habitability of that building was pretty much unachievable. So it is a little bit of a different situation here. But in time, that house will probably either be torn down or moved. That's an idea as well.
And council knows it's a purchase of a piece of property, not a house. Go ahead and finish that.
So with the inspection report and it needing a new roof, and I think that's the majority of the expense, it's been my experience that the price of the house would come down to cover the cost of a new roof.
Well, the condition of the roof was I met the gentleman who did the appraisal, and he and I talked extensively about the roof. It's something that he factored into the market value. At least that was my understanding.
Councilmember Olson and Councilmember Watson.
I had the same concerns as Councilmember Birch earlier, but I had to remind myself we were buying it to tear it down anyway. And it's, as you can see by your new tax bills, it isn't going to get any cheaper. So down the road, it'd be only much more, plus then maybe there'd be a family in it. We'd have to do the eminent domain. This way it's just cleaner. Even if we do buy it and bulldoze it, I'm good with that. And that's why I'll vote in the affirmative.
Councilman Watson?
And I have talked with Interfaith as well about the possibility of finding volunteers to put the new roof on, because, you know, there's Habitat for Humanity does that all the time. That's a possibility. So I don't think doing the roof is not going to be the city's job. It's going to be volunteers like myself who are going to help Interfaith to do it. We need it for the roundabout, and we also need it for transitional homeless housing right now. So we use it for transitional housing for the homeless until we need to tear it down or move it for the roundabout. So for me, I think it's a wonderful win-win.
Councilmember Goodrich.
I don't have an issue with the roof aspect of it. Even if Interfaith backs out of it and decides they're not going to do it, because I was talking to Riley about it, of using it for our off-site storage where you desperately need a place to store stuff. So if they don't use it, then we as a city could use it for, you know, our stuff. Yeah, we'd have to put a roof on it probably, but at least it won't just sit there empty or have to tear it down. We could, you know, do it something else in the case this deal falls through. So I think there's benefits on several different aspects of it. I would not want to put any more money into it than other than a roof, you know, if the Interfaith thing fell through. It's something to be worth it.
Any more comments, questions from council? Seeing none, you ready for the question? Motion is to purchase the house. I think this is the last time we have to vote on this.
We'll see.
So, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
It passed 6-1 with Councilmember Bursch voting no. Going on, budget time. I think that is Mr. Young, since our finance director is not here tonight.
Yes, we are required to hold two public hearings for the budget. This is the second one. As I think everyone here is keenly aware, we've been working rather diligently on the budget. And following the public hearing tonight, we have the opportunity to pass our budget, which, as I think everyone realizes, is a living document. It is going to be revised as we enter into 2017.
Councilmember Watson, it is a public hearing, but any technical questions? I think we've had quite a few over the last few weeks, but Councilmember Watson.
Do you know yet how much of that $8 million we have left? I know Circa was going to look at it when she comes back, because we had $8 million in bonds for water and sewer, and I see we're using quite a bit of that cash this year. Do you know how much we're going to have left?
Not definitively. I know that when Mark was still here and we were working through the expenditure of those funds, we had projected into the future, depending on the project, we were either going to expend the remainder of the $8 million in 17 or the remainder of in 17 and 18, and then the capital projects dropped from $2-3 million a year just down to like a $1 million.
Okay.
So when she comes back, that is one of the things on her to-do list, is to figure out exactly what the idea was. Because we weren't so specific on the $8 million that you could see that there were 17 projects. But it was rather specific when it came to the type of projects. So we've obviously done some of the projects. We need to look at how those costs came in. So we'll be reporting back as to what the balance of that $8 million is.
Okay. Thank you.
So, public hearing, ready for that? This is a chance for you folks to speak, but we're going to have some directions. We have four public hearings tonight, and there are some special instructions for that. And we'll get the directions from our city clerk.
Okay, a public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you were unable to sign up before the meeting, you will be given an opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheet. Each speaker should state his or her name and address for the record, and will be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group.
Seeing that none have signed up, we will open the public comment to those who would like to speak on the budget proposal. I haven't opened the public hearing technically. So we open it at 6:49 and we will close it at 6:50. City Council, what is your pleasure tonight? Councilmember Watson.
I'll move to approve the 2017 budget as presented.
Second. Get that one to Gray. Moved by Councilmember Watson, seconded by Councilmember Hansen. Discussion from City Council.
We apologize.
Councilmember Olson.
This looks so unprofessional.
There were questions about some budget things that I saw, but I wanted to say that we have a lot more of the budget to work on in January. This is something that we have to pass this month. It finances all the things that we have to get done. So all the other stuff will be next month or February in our monthly budget amendments. And with that, I'll support it.
Ready for the question? It's been moved and seconded to adopt the 2017 budget that you worked so hard on. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The budget has passed 7-0. Councilmember Goodrich.
I'd like to thank Administrator Young and our new city accountant, finance director, for this year. I thought it was very informative, especially with trying to go through without Mark and his insights and stuff. I just want to thank you for all your work that you did to get this through. And it was well worth it. So thank you.
Well said, Councilmember. Going on to item E, public hearing zoning text amendment, fence heights. We have Haley Miller, our associate planner. Haven't seen you in a while. Welcome to the City Council.
Good evening. Haley Miller, City of Ferndale. So this is probably the last or second to last round of LID code changes that we're bringing forward to you. And this is a zoning text amendment.
And LID is for our audience?
Oh, I'm sorry. Low impact development. So we're going through the codes and removing any barriers to low-impact development, and this is in response to the adoption of the 2012 Ecology Manual. So these changes aren't directly related to LID. Most of the changes in here are just code scrub related. This is the chapter that covers general and specific regulations for all zones, and we added a purpose statement for this and did some minor code scrub changes. The biggest change that we made was adding a diagram in for fence height requirements. Right now it's listed as two sort of confusing paragraphs that are really difficult to explain at the counter to people. So we've had our building director draw this up, and then we also added the vision clearance triangle on there, which is the whole point of the setback. So it's just making it so planning staff and other staff, making it easier for us to explain. And then we did add a reference to the vision triangle and the development standards, so the codes are sort of speaking a little bit better now. That was the major change. We did relax the guidelines a little bit to allow for if someone wanted to place a tree or something in their front yard, as long as it's not blocking vision clearance, then it's okay. Right now, how it reads, there's not really any flexibility for that. And then for commercial fence rules, as it reads now, the commercial fences are supposed to follow the same guidelines as residential, which doesn't make a lot of sense because those go through a separate review, through site plan review and landscaping plan review. So we updated that. And then a reference to a front setback. I'm taking off an access easement. There's a picture. This is the one with the pink car. So in our code, as it reads, there it is. The setback is.
You could tell Haley did this one.
Property line on the right hand side. If we were to measure the front property line, the front setback off the front property line, it wouldn't get the car out of the way out of the access easement. And this did actually happen to us during plan review, so we're just making the code read that the setback is taken from the access easement to avoid that. So not any major changes. It's not really changing the policy of the height regulation, just making it easier for us to use at the counter with the public.
Council, as a public hearing, so technical questions of our guests. Councilmember Watson?
I was in 18.72.110, and it's top page 68 in my package. I'm not sure, or page 18. You changed the allowances for adult businesses, and I was just wondering what that had to do with lid and fence heights.
Which section is it?
18.72.110. It's on page 68. Is what? We'll keep going. 68. The very top of 68, section A.
Oh, that was just a code scrub reference.
Okay.
We just took out
right there. That's
the RS 6.5 and 8.5. Okay. Those aren't real zones anymore. We just have RS 6, 8, and 10.
Oh. Okay.
So we just crossed those out and then just added all RS zones. It was just it's a code scrub thing. It doesn't change really what it meant.
Okay, I was just trying to figure out what that had to do with lid and fences.
It's
just something you noticed that you...
that we're bringing through is a combination of the LED updates and a code scrub. That's how we noticed it. So it's kind of hitting... While we're in there with all the code soonest changes, we're just in scrubbing it out.
Okay.
We've already noticed it.
Thank you. I missed that.
Yeah.
Counselor, you ready to hear from the public? It's a public hearing. I'll open the public hearing at 6:55. Nobody sign up, looking to see if the folks that want to talk about fences. Low impact development. It gets exciting, doesn't it? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing. Council, what is your pleasure tonight? Councilmember Birch.
I make the motion that we approve the zoning tax amendment.
Is that from you?
Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Birch. Motion and seconded by Councilmember Taylor. Council, questions, comments, arguments, anything? Seeing none. All in favor of passing item E, the public hearing on the LID updates and fence heights, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It's passed 7-0. The ordinance is passed. Thank you, Haley.
Thank you, Haley.
We have Mr. Burnett for the next couple, right?
Yes.
Two more public hearings, comp plan, map updates, and your annexation blueprint. That sounds like a real exciting subject. I'm going to watch, see how you pull this one off.
Well, depending on whether or not you own the properties or not, I guess, dictates. So just to let the council know ahead of time, since both this item and the next item are both amendments to the comprehensive plan, we do have the ability for you to adopt both in one motion. If you do not feel comfortable with that, you can certainly consider them separate. But we recognize you have a pretty packed agenda, and so there is that possibility for you.
Thank you.
Starting with the map amendment change, the city has received an application from Michael Waters, the property owner of property address is 1628 Main Street. I'm going to find a map eventually. But this is property immediately east of the pilot truck stop here. As you can see in the map, about two-thirds or three-quarters of the property is actually within Whatcom County and is outside of our jurisdiction. The property owner does own the entire property, but this proposed amendment is focused just on the southern portion, which includes an existing single-family residence. Right now, the property is zoned low or has a low-density residential land use designation through the comprehensive plan. The property owner wishes to change that from low-density residential to commercial and to change the zoning from residential single-family to mixed-use commercial. To give you an idea of where this stands in context, properties to the west and south are already commercial. The properties to the east and to the southeast are residential. The Planning Commission has recommended approval of this conversion. Staff's analysis is that clearly this is between two different zones. Because this is in the floodplain, it's probably going to be very difficult to develop it with single-family residential to get it out of the floodplain. It's not necessarily going to be easy to develop it with commercial uses either, but it might be that you're only looking at one building as opposed to make this work, probably trying to maximize your single-family development. So for staff, it does make sense to convert it. At the Planning Commission's request, we not only reached out to the neighbors within 300 feet for the public hearing, but we sent a direct letter to those properties that were immediately adjacent, especially on the north side, to see whether or not they wish to participate. In fact, we got one comment back from the mobile home park to the east supporting it but not wishing to participate. So we feel that we have gone beyond the normal process for public notification. on this, and we have certainly met that normal public process. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Council, you have Community Development Director Burnett ready to answer questions. This is a public hearing, so you're ready to hear from the vast numbers of the public that are ready to run forward and mob the front here. We'll open up the public hearing at 7 o'clock. Anyone from the public want to speak on the annexation? Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing shortly after we opened it. Council, do you want to just do the next one at the same time?
I can if planning.
Looking for consent from the council.
I guess I'm just, because we're talking about an individual's land versus annexation, I'm wondering if it would just be cleaner if we could either approve or disapprove his land request, and then just to keep it cleaner so it's always like...
Waiting for a motion from council then.
Okay. Then I would move to approve the comprehensive plan update.
Second. And the rezone is, as well.
And the rezone as well, yes.
And that would be all of item number F, right? Letter F?
Agenda Bill 1612005, all of it.
F. It's moved by Councilmember Lawson, seconded by Councilmember Hanson, I believe. Whoever got there first, you can arm wrestle the difference, I suppose.
Yeah, right.
Questions or discussion? Seeing none. Those in favor of the item described, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The item has passed, the annexation there. We give it to Greg. So I think we're on G now. Does that sound right?
Annexation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Annexation blueprint.
Item G, I will give you a brief summary, and brief is relative for me, I realize. Understanding that the concept of annexations and the entire annexation process is new to many of the council members and is certainly new to many of the property owners that are involved, so I'm happy to answer any questions as we go forward. The primary caveat is to remind you that no action that you take tonight initiates an annexation process. We are not talking about annexing this territory at this point, nor are we talking about making any land part of the urban growth area. The Whatcom County Council's decision this summer placed all of the land that we are talking about within the urban growth area. So that decision is final. It has not been appealed. It's now in the urban growth area. We're not going to annex it today. The discussion here is simply to inform us and the public through our annexation blueprint when the city would consider accepting an application for an annexation or a notice of intent to annex. And I will give you just a little brief bit of background.
Go ahead.
Until 3 years ago when we adopted the annexation blueprint, in theory, any property owner within our urban growth area could come to the city at any time and to say that they wished to annex. And oftentimes those folks came with all of their arguments already designed and all of their proposals and the great things that could happen if annexation occurred, ready to go, where Planning Commission staff and the council were sort of in a reactive posture, where, gosh, this sounds good, or, gosh, that sounds scary if we didn't annex, so we might as well annex. And sometimes that put us in a position of annexing territory ahead of when we planned for our capital facility upgrades, extension of water and sewer, where we hadn't even planned out what that could look like. Sometimes it meant annexing territory before the market was prepared for it. And obviously that comes with some costs, where inheriting territory means that we have the obligation to serve, at the very least, through administrative and police services. So the annexation blueprint was created in order for us to provide the public with an understanding of when we would even consider an annexation proposal, where here on the map, the sub-areas in red, we're not even going to allow a notice of intent to annex to come in until about 2030 or so. Yellow, it's more like 2026. This has really served us well, I believe, because it closes the door quickly on some conversations that tended to kind of veer up, or that there were attempts to go over staff's head and talk to council or planning commission or the mayor directly. That closed the door, and it really helped. the areas in green, it has helped where we know that many of those property owners are saying, yes, we're in the green area. That means that we need to start thinking about it. It helps for their financial planning and a whole bunch of other things. So very pro on the annexation blueprint. What we are considering tonight is what to do with the property at the northeast quadrant of Slater Road, which is east to west here, and Pacific Highway, which is north to south, which is, again, now in our urban growth area. When we had initially discussed the issue with Whatcom County, we had talked about the possibility of this territory not being allowed to annex until the Salish Village was developed or initiated development, and or when the traffic resulting from Costco and other development down at, in Bellingham started to have an impact here, so that this perhaps would not be the first area to initiate development. Since that time, we know that many of the property owners, not all, but many of the property owners would really like to come into the city more rapidly. The Planning Commission felt strongly that, in fact, we should make this eligible for annexation now, and that is their recommendation, and that is staff's recommendation to you tonight, to make this area eligible for immediate annexation, which, again, then puts the onus more than likely on the property owners, although we could and we would recommend having a separate meeting at some point in the new year to talk about what happens next with this property. So with that said, the recommendation is several housekeeping items within the annexation blueprint to make this area immediately eligible for annexation. And in response to council, and this was something that we were going to add in anyway, towards the end of your document, we do have a couple of maps that we added that will be integrated into this blueprint, which show from a kind of 30,000 foot level more or less what we would need to do or what the property owners would need to do to extend services to the area. For both water and sewer, it's fairly straightforward, where you have gravity for sewer, and then you might need to fight against gravity a little bit with water, but nothing that's rocket science.
Council, this is a public hearing once again. Councilmember Goodrich.
I have a question with the map that shows the aerial view, this mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when we saw it before, the red lines were on the east side of the freeway, and now they go to the west. Was that just an oops before, or is it an oops now with the way the GIS draws lines? I thought before that it just showed the east side interchange, and it didn't go over to the west side.
So it doesn't, for instance, have this area?
Yeah.
So, yes, the reason why we did include that area is that is wholly owned by WSDOT, where WSDOT has kind of, well, they've told us, we don't care whether or not we're part of your city or not. It really doesn't change our regulations. So WSDOT is never going to initiate an annexation. So what we're saying is, should the rest of the East Slater area be annexed, we would expect that WSDOT property be taken with it. It does have some potential benefits to the city of taking in that WSDOT area, and that is it does put us, I guess, not in the driver's seat so much, and we already have a seat at the table, but maybe instead of, you know, kind of at the kids' table, we're at the grown-up table for the discussion of any future improvements. It's one of those things where the freeway being what it is, it does technically be within the city of Ferndale, but we don't pretend that all of a sudden we are WSDOT's assistant. It's just making sure we don't have a gap.
Council. Councilmember Hansen, then Councilmember Watson.
So on page 11 in your section, about the background of annexations. You talk about how the property owners decide whether or not to petition for annexation or not. Mm-hmm. And it says that petitions signed by a minimum 6% of the property owners in the area based on land value or total number of properties. My question is, how does that get decided? I mean, who decides whether we do it based on property or land value?
Right. So, and I'm trying to scroll to it, but essentially, I think I found it.
So the very beginning.
There are several different methods of annexing. What has generally happened is the property owners determine which one they want to go for. In some cases, especially, you know, when we're talking about the election method, that's often a much larger area where it's just really not functionally possible. Here, in my experience, it has been that the property owners, when they get together, try to determine what the quickest way past the post is going to be for them.
That's Councilmember Watson.
Is this the only commercial land in the early annexation areas? Because the rest looks like residential in the greens.
Yes, I believe it is. Our analysis initially had been that the city of Ferndale does not need additional commercial inventory. When we went through the process in 2011 or so, however, the acquisition of properties by the Lumination at Slater meant that for the commercial lands that the city had regulatory authority over, that we had had that inventory diminished by approximately 45 acres, and that the development of other properties, especially on Portal Way for kind of quasi-commercial or industrial, kind of straddling the line, that our inventory is reduced just through natural development. So that we felt that the city was positioned for additional employment growth and that we had a reduction in our inventory. So this would be the only area that would be added to the city.
Okay. Thank you.
Ready for the public hearing?
Mm-hmm. At 7:11:22, we open the public hearing for those that would like to comment on the annexation blueprint. There we go. I thought we might get one. Ms. Irwin, thank you.
I'm Lori Irwin, and I reside at 4958 Pacific Highway. I would like to see this annexed as soon as possible. I have a business at this address, and I am unable through the county to expand my business in any way. My building is maxed out because I have a cottage industry permit, and they really don't have a lot of... they have some stipulations for cottage industry, but when I wanted to add on to my building, then they didn't know what to do with me because they don't have any regulations for that. So I am stuck at where I am with, I can't expand, I can't, there's a lot of things I cannot do unless I get into the city and then hopefully I can do some of them. One of them, for instance, I had a realtor come by today and he said, you know, I go by here every day and I can't see your sign from the highway. I said, well, if you will go kindly to the county and ask them if I could put a bigger sign than a 2x4, no, non-lighted, I would appreciate it because I can't. I've been there for 12 years, and I cannot put up a sign any bigger than 2x4. So that is one of the little regulations that keeps me from getting the word out. So I have been watching this progress go along for the almost 3 years that Lori's been working on it. So I would like to see it annexed in sooner than later.
Council, we've had this guest before. Any questions? Ms. Irwin?
You have had offers in the past, right? Because you were at the weird zoning, they wouldn't buy the land.
I've had two different offers to buy the property. One of them was a plumber, and it was Gary's Plumbing. And I was told no, he could not run. The county told us no, he could not run his business there because there is a cottage industry, and the only business that could run there is an embroidery business. So he went across the road to the south, across Slater Road, and bought property there and runs his business there now. Mm-hmm. So that was one of two that I had. My uncle that has a fireplace shop right to the north of me, he is interested in doing something with his property, and he pretty much has been told no on everything also. So there are people that would like to do some growth along there, but... I mean, it is not major growth we want to do. I just would like to add on to my building, and I can't right now, so that's where I'm at.
Thank you, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Very much. Any other public? Mrs. Goldsmith, you have the floor.
Good evening, Council. Once again, Yvonne Goldsmith, 5840 Church Road. The Planning Commission, we talked about this, about that area. And if you take a look at it, I don't have a map in front of me, but let's say the Salish center or whatever, mm-hmm. cross over the bridge. Ferndale's got that area. And then go down the road just a ways, Costco. Wow. I look at it as bucks, big bucks for the city of Ferndale. So I'd really like to encourage you guys to think about it. Okay, please. We deserve it.
Thank you, Ms. Goldsmith.
Council, ready to close the public hearing? Looking for others that want to come forward? Seeing none. Public hearing is closed at 7:15. City Council, what is your pleasure? Councilmember Watson.
Move to approve the comprehensive plan amendment, the annexation blueprint.
Second.
It's moved by Councilmember Watson, seconded by Councilmember Goodrich.
I gave up.
Any more discussion?
No.
Seeing none. All in favor of adopting the ordinance, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Thank you, Mr. Burnett. We're going on now to the storm.
Thank you for all that work, Murray. Appreciate it.
Stormwater, adopting policy, legislative service, development standards, the whole sheet match there.
So next
H.
So Director Renz and I will probably both discuss this item with you. These are the Ferndale development standards that are directly associated with the administration sections, the stormwater sections, and the land alteration sections. They are not the entirety of the development standards per the request of the council committee. First off, I want to remind you, as Haley discussed earlier, we are obligated to review and, if necessary, update all of our regulations by December 31st, 2016, in order to remove obstacles to low-impact stormwater development. This is your last action item of 2016, and I think that we've done an excellent job of getting us to that point. We would anticipate that even if you adopt these chapters tonight, that we're going to come back to you next month, and we'll probably have some tweaks to these chapters, because we have gotten, as you saw at Council Committee, over 100 different standard detail drawings that staff is going to have to look at, and where we're going to need to do certain tweaks here and there to these chapters. Last week after we met, we talked to Intulight, you know, PSE, about some requirements there that are going to go into another chapter. We just got some feedback from Transpo that will provide us with additional guidance as far as traffic studies. So we're not done yet, but we believe that these chapters are to the point where they can be considered done, they can be adopted into law and go into effect as per our normal schedule. Even with that said, there's a whole bunch in all of these different chapters. And so basically what you're looking at is chapters 1 through 5 tell the staff and tell applicants how to use the development standards. The other chapters show you how to build the stuff. So they talk to two different things. These are generally less technical. They provide Kevin and his staff with important flexibility and discretion in terms of deciding, here's where we start as defined by the standards, but discretion as far as where we end up in meeting the intent of the standards. That will give, again, us substantial ability to make the right call, and will also give the applicants an understanding of how to initiate that conversation and how to make progress. Where, again, what we don't want to have is an applicant to show up here at a comment period and say, I hate the way that this is happening because I just keep on coming to a dead end. They don't need to accept a dead end, where they can always appeal decisions if they need to and go to the hearing examiner to be heard. So we believe that that's an important bit of progress. I'm happy to answer any questions. I could certainly get into the weeds on any one of these chapters, and if you have any questions, and I will go there with you, but I'm kind of looking at council members, and I've seen that look from Councilmember Olson before. So.
Council, you have staff before you. Answer questions on development standards.
I have none.
No, played.
Then, Council, what is your pleasure tonight? Councilmember Goodrich.
I move that we adopt Agenda Bill 16-12-007.
Second.
I think I heard two, but I'll give it to Carol. Councilmember Burr seconding Councilmember Goodrich's motion, and the mayor will say, I'm extremely pleased with the progress of the bananas. This is a big deal for the city. This is a win for everybody. More discussion from council. Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the ordinance on the development standards, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ordinance has passed 7-0. Congratulations, Kevin, and yours. Well done. Go on to mail reports. All I have is, first of all, Merry Christmas to everybody. I won't see you to the new year. Happy New Year, all that kind of stuff. We have a couple things coming up. Tomorrow from 10 until 12:30, we have a kind of a going-away party for our chief of police, Michael Knapp. It's at the Pioneer Pavilion. We hope that you'll come between 10 and 12:30. And then, of course, the meet and greet for the new for the candidates, the finalists for the new chief, next Monday night from 6:30 to 8:30. And that's all that the mayor has. Council reports. Councilmember Taylor and Councilmember Olson.
The Lumination approached us about the Fast Lane grant, and I was just wanting to know if we're going to support with a letter of support.
Great. Some challenges there.
Yeah, there's some challenges insofar as I've reached out to Mr. Vinish a couple of times. I think I copied the council on most of those. We've yet to see what they're applying for, and as you might expect, it's a little difficult to support something if you don't know what you're supporting. At this time, I really could not recommend that we support the application.
Okay. Council? Or council reports? Councilmember Olson and Councilmember Goodrich.
I'd like to thank Mrs. Goldsmith for her service to the city. I'm sorry it came to this. I hope you're not discouraged and we see you again.
Councilmember Goodrich.
I will not be at the January meeting, or if we have a committee meeting at the end of December. We're taking a little tour to visit family in Southern Washington, the middle of California, and Southern California. So.
Okay. Councilmember Watson.
Community meal this Saturday, and as well as our community meal Christmas meal is on the 17th. So anyone's welcome to join us at the United Church on Washington Avenue from 10 to noon. Hope to see you there.
Very good. Any other council reports? Councilmember Birch.
I saw Robert Pinkley last week. He's the owner of the Leader Block building, and he gave me a stack of invitations to his little soiree on Friday and said, pass them out. This is the only one I brought with me. I don't know why I just didn't bring a lot more, but he's having a Leader Block Wine and Coffee Company celebration on December the 9th at 7 p.m. And everybody is welcome to come and tour the facilities and get
Thank
a taste
you.
Of coffee and enjoy themselves.
Any more from council? Going on to staff for Community Development Director Burnett.
I think that... I was just in California 2 weeks ago, and the warehouse fire that just occurred is something that all cities need to be aware of, where, especially when we have mixed-use buildings that are either in a state of construction or a state of destruction, that, and even when there are parties, or sometimes especially when there are parties, these things happen where I think we're over 30 people that have died in it. And it's not just because it was a city, it's not just because it was a party, but, you know, in today's day and age, we often think that fires don't happen or that catastrophic fires don't happen because we have sprinklers and all that. That's simply not the case, and I think that's something that we always need to remember, where there were recent violations on that building that had not yet been acted on. So it again illustrates our need to have fire inspector and code enforcement to be proactive in these things as much as possible.
Well said. Public Works Director, Mr. Rentz.
Yeah. I'd just like to highlight and thank Yuri on all the work that he did for the development standards. I think that, you know, it's impressive to watch the amount of work that Yuri puts in on those things, and the real credit to the city. And additionally, I know I mentioned it at the committees, but the Public Works crew did go through and do the upgrades to the bathrooms down at the Pioneer Park area, and I think people should go down and take a look at them. I think the crew did a fantastic job down there and did a real improvement to those facilities. So credit to the city.
Riley and I went down there. They look really sharp. It was a good move by council. It was a great
effort. And old-fashioned Christmas, they were used, and I didn't hear any complaints.
The highlight of that event, which is a great event, is definitely the need of sidewalks through that park during the rain. So, ADA and the whole thing.
I'd use a couple of $200,000.
Just for a grant. City Clerk Duncan.
Nothing.
Communications Officer Riley Sweeney.
Just a couple of quick items. This last couple of weeks, I threw in some grant applications for the Whatcom Community Neighborhood, the Whatcom Community Foundation. For their neighborly grant for some fun activities next year. So here's hoping.
Cross your fingers.
Also, I've started the process of overhauling the website. So in honor of Paul Akers, if there are things about it that bug you, let me know. And I'm sure there's plenty there.
All of the things that bug you?
All the things that bug you about the website. So okay. Send an email. I won't promise I'll fix them, but I will read your
you
email.
Put on your little yellow pad.
That's true.
It?
One more. Black ice tonight. Be careful.
City Administrator Young.
Nothing except I do want to thank the council for all the work you've done on the budget and realizing we still have, you know, as I think everyone knows, a fair amount of work to do. But in a bizarre way, I love the numbers. I love doing that kind of stuff. I know others. it's
the
sickness that I live with. I really enjoy the finance side of cities. And hopefully, through this whole process, you've come to understand the complexities of the city budget, but also that those complexities should not be an impediment for you to be able to explain to our citizens how we spend our money and if we spend it responsibly. So I appreciate the time and effort you put into it. For some of you, at least, I know this is not something you enjoy doing, so kind of bear with us.
Thank you, Greg. And last this evening, our Chief of Police, any reports from the back corner there? We do want to thank you. This is your last council meeting. I want to thank you, I think on behalf of everybody, for your patience and your endurance over many years. And Nancy for letting us have the chief on Monday nights twice a month for how many years? And Nancy, it's your birthday too, isn't it? Happy birthday to you. So I want to extend a congratulations for many years of good service here, Chief Nancy. I'd be happy to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Good night, Count.